You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Inner Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Carolina, and I'm so grateful that you are here, that you chose to click on today's episode, that you're tuning in, pouring into your own cup, and that we get to hang out for the next few minutes. Truly so grateful. And today is a very special day because, as you guys know, I release episodes on Thursdays, and this year, this Thursday, October 10th, is World Mental Health Day, and I just love when things align like this. And when I knew that this was going to happen, I just knew that I needed to record an episode talking about mental health because it's something that I am personally a very big advocate for. I don't know if you guys have listened to my active listening episode, but on that episode, I shared with you guys that in college, I was first introduced to the power of mental health because I ended up joining a club that did active listening trainings, and it just truly transformed how I thought about conversations, how I held space for other people to share and be vulnerable, and the importance of doing that in order to cultivate more honest, open relationships, but also to help other people around you feel safe enough to share their truth and to be honest and to share what's going on deep inside their hearts. And obviously that's a super important part of mental health, is feeling safe enough to share your truth and feeling safe enough to open up with those around you, with someone you trust. And since then, I have really become serious about my mental health. Pretty soon after I joined that club, I joined therapy and started my therapy journey. That was in 2019. And I was in therapy every single week for many years, basically from 2019 until the end of last year, I want to say. And then I kind of decided to take a pause on therapy at the end of 2023. So I haven't been in therapy for this entire year, but honestly, therapy changed my life. And it was something that also was really important for my mental health journey. But there are so many different things that I have learned on my journey that I can do to show up for my mental health. And on today's episode, I just kind of want to share with you guys some of those things and some of the ways that I show up for my own mental health. And hopefully, if you're kind of struggling right now, it'll give you some tools to lean on. Or if you're just someone who wants to lean on their mental health a little bit more and prioritize that part of their wellness a little bit more, then this will also be a helpful episode. And before I dive in, I just want to make an important PSA that I know there's so much that ranges in the space of mental health, and everyone comes from a different place. Obviously, there are some people dealing with certain psychological or mental conditions like bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety, OCD, etc. And I'm not going to be touching on that specifically on today's episode. I'm just going to be sharing some ways that I support my mental health. That said, I am definitely someone who has struggled with anxiety in the past, not like a diagnosed anxiety, but just with like a general sense of anxiety and with putting a lot of pressure on myself and being very hard on myself for a lot of my life. And you guys know I am a healing perfectionist, and I'm always trying to be mindful of the different ways that I can put a lot of pressure on myself and just be really mean to myself at times. And this is something I have worked on, but again, I personally don't have any diagnosis of a psychological or psychosocial or mental disorder. And so I just wanted to obviously put that out there and mention that if you're someone who feels you might be struggling with any of these things, like, reach out for help and lean on support as much as you can. But just know that you're not alone, and mental health is a very real part of our health. I really, really think it's important to advocate for this, because a lot of people think that healthy living is just about eating healthy and working out. But as a holistic health coach, it is my duty to broadcast to this podcast that that is not all that goes into a healthy lifestyle, right? To me, it integrates so many other parts of our life, from our mental health to our emotional health to our finances to our spirituality and our friendships, our home environment. All these different things apply to our health. So it's important to remember this, and remember that mental health is a very real part of your health and something that needs to be taken seriously and something that deserves attention and care. So maybe if you're someone who tends to brush off your mental health, let this be your sign to, like, take it a little more seriously and take that inner world of yours a little bit more seriously than maybe you have before. And I think it will really benefit you in the long run. So with all of that said, let's get into it. Let's dive in and let's get growing. Alrighty, so I really like anchoring in my episodes on a definition whenever it's applicable. So I just looked up on Google, just like plain out, I typed mental health definition. And I don't know if you guys know this, but now Google kind of provides like a little AI overview when you search something. I think it just kind of like does a little meta analysis of all the different results from the search and then kind of just like summarizes it, right? And I really liked the summary of this definition. And it says, mental health is a person's emotional, psychological, and social well-being. And it affects how they think, feel, and act. It's an essential part of health and well-being, and it's important at every stage of life. Wow, what a great definition. So based off of that, right, it's a combination of your psychological well-being, so your mindset and the things that you're thinking and the way your brain works, as well as your emotional well-being, so like the way that you feel and everything that goes on day in, day out, in terms of your emotional experience, as well as your social well-being, which ties into your interactions with other people, the amount of time you spend alone versus the amount of time you spend socializing, the types of people that you spend time with, the quality of the time that you're spending with them, etc. So it's a combination of things, right? And based off of this, I made a few different bullet points for each of those categories to share with you guys how I support those aspects of my mental health. And I'm just going to share those different tools and ways that I prioritize it, and hopefully it will be helpful to you on your mental health journey as well. So starting out with psychological well-being, one of the most important things to me when it comes to this aspect of mental health is really taking ownership and getting real with yourself about the stories that you are telling yourself about your life, about who you are, your worth, what you deserve, what you're working towards, your capabilities, the people you attract, the situations you attract. What is your overall view of life? And what is a narrative that you keep telling yourself, that you keep telling other people? Are you someone who goes around saying, like, I'm so unlucky, nothing ever works out for me? Or are you someone who puts out positive energy, who believes in the best, who expects positive things, who is able to embrace the goodness around them and cast a net of positivity? Get really real with yourself, right? And for me, something that I choose to do is to get very intentional about the stories that I tell myself. So this means that I really pay attention to how I talk about my body, how I talk to myself in the mirror, how I talk to myself when I maybe made a mistake or when something isn't going right or when I feel frustrated. It's really like working on that self-talk and on those beliefs that I verbalize and the thoughts that I have regularly, and to be very proactive with telling myself the best story possible and the story of my life that I want to play out. So this is super important to me. And also something else that ties into this is keeping a gratitude mindset. Things can be going wrong, like life happens, but I really believe that at the very end of the day, you can find at least one thing to be grateful for. Even if there was so much that went wrong that day, even if shit hit the fan, there's still one thing, at least, that you could be grateful for. And the more that you do gratitude lists or just have a gratitude practice of like expressing gratitude in the moment for things, saying thank you and ending your day on a positive note or starting your day on a positive note like that, it will become a natural part of who you are. It's a practice. It's a gratitude practice. And it's something that can be learned. And I think this is something that has really helped me tap into a more abundant mindset. And I remember listening to a podcast a long time ago. I don't remember which podcast it was, but they were interviewing Dr. Amen, who is this like really famous doctor. And he was talking about the psychology of happiness, I believe. And he was saying that one of the biggest things for you to do that can help with your mental health is to end the day on a positive note and really recount what went well that day. So this is something that I really take to heart and I focus on, and I really believe it's very powerful. Okay, something else too that ties into your psychological well-being is not believing every single thought that you have. Like sometimes the thoughts that you're having are just intrusive thoughts, or they're not real. Like they're just false beliefs, they're false stories that you're telling yourself, they're assumptions that you're making, or they're just self-judgment. And I actually love this concept that I learned from a social media friend of mine called Kelly that has really helped me with this, and I actually have shared with some of my coaching clients too, which is to take your thoughts to court. And the way that you can understand this is like, if you're having a thought that like isn't feeling good to you, actually imagine that you're taking it to court. Do you have witnesses that can prove this thought to be true? Do you have evidence to back it up? And if you don't, let it go. Don't necessarily believe every thought that you have. And another aspect of this too, right, ties into worrying. And I mentioned this in the self-trust episode that I shared a couple weeks ago, but when we're caught up in like over-worrying, a lot of the times we think that we're doing it because we're preparing ourselves for the worst case scenario. But in truth, we're just stressing ourselves out, right? And we're getting caught up in all these intrusive and negative thoughts about the future, about the what ifs. And ultimately, what that is creating is a lack of trust in your future self. Because by over-worrying, you're essentially signaling to yourself that you don't think that future you can handle this. And if you're able to instead just switch your mindset and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to focus on the best case scenario, on all the positive what ifs. And if something happens, like if the worst case scenario happens or something goes wrong, I trust the future me has got this. She has my back. I will be able to handle it. And there's nothing I can do until the future comes. So I might as well relax. Like if you're able to do this, you're going to be so much better off. So this is super, super great advice. And the last thing I had written down for psychological well-being is getting to know myself and understanding certain tendencies that I have. And based off of that, preparing for the best and like choosing the best for my future self. So a really silly example that I thought of when I was writing this down is that I know that I'm usually the type of person that will leave packing for a trip to the last minute. But the thing is that when I do that, I stress myself out so much and I get caught up in this loop of stress that I don't need to be under. So if I know this about myself, I can think of my future self and say, you know what? I'm just gonna do my packing a couple days in advance. And that simple act will reduce so much stress for my future self, and I'm just setting myself up for success. So get to know yourself and notice things that you tend to do that make you stressed or make you anxious or just don't help you. Understand like what are your patterns? What are things that maybe you tend to do unintentionally that just like cause you anxiety or stress? And what could you do instead to revert that pattern and to set your future self up for a better state of mind? That's everything I wrote down for psychological. Now moving on to emotional. One of the most important things for your emotional well-being is to validate your feelings. It's to like actually say, you know what? Like I'm feeling kind of upset right now and it's totally valid for me to feel this way. Like when you're feeling a certain emotion, I think that's the most healing thing to receive from someone else is for you to, like, let's say, vent to a friend or a partner or a parent or someone or your therapist, and for them to tell you your feelings are valid. Like, if I was in that situation, I probably would feel the same way. Or I can totally see why you might be feeling that. And, like, it makes sense. Like, I get it. It's valid. That is so healing. So if you're able to do that for yourself and just validate your own feelings and emotions and just say, like, yeah, it's valid that I feel this way. Honestly, it can be such a game changer. And something else too, it's like a very small shift, is instead of saying I am sad, I am angry, shift into saying I feel sad or I feel angry. Because that way you stop over-identifying with your emotions and you can detach from them a little bit. So they can stop taking control of you. And you can instead start taking control of your emotional experience. And you don't have to over-identify with that feeling, especially if it's a negative one. Because anything that we over-identify with kind of gets looped into our identity, right? And our sense of self. And we don't necessarily want to identify with our feelings because they're fleeting experiences. They come and they go. So that's one of the most underrated little shifts that you can do. And something else as well is feel your feelings. That's why they're called feelings. Like, they're made to be felt. So, like, allow yourself to feel things. But obviously, do it with awareness and do it with mindfulness. And understand yourself and how you tend to be when you are feeling something, right? Like, if you're feeling stressed or anxious or angry or sad, how do you usually behave? And based off of that, what would be the wisest thing for you to do? Like, for example, I know that usually when I get angry at someone or at a situation, the best thing for me to do is to take a step back. Because if I allow myself to just keep moving along while I feel that feeling, I am probably going to, like, lash out at someone or maybe, like, pick a fight that I don't need to pick. So I already know that, like, when I'm feeling a little bit irritated or angry, the best thing I need to do is just to, like, cool off and give myself some space. Because in doing that, whenever I return to the conversation or return to addressing the situation, I will be way more level-headed. So again, like, understand your typical emotional experience and then make the wisest choice based off of that. And then the last thing for me that's important when it comes to navigating my emotional well-being is getting real with myself about the fact that I am a sensitive person. Like, I have a Cancer moon, you guys. I feel a lot of things. And so because I am sensitive, something I have learned about myself is that I tend to take things very seriously sometimes, or I tend to take things very personally. And that doesn't always serve me. A lot of the times when I start to feel this way and I start to take things personally, it just kind of causes me to create drama for myself that I don't need to. And it causes perceived stress for myself in situations where maybe it's not necessary. And that's because I'm, like, very quick to judge, very quick to feel something when, like, someone says something that I maybe misunderstood or didn't understand the way that they intended it to. So to take a step back and to not take everything personally has been very essential for me. And if you're someone who tends to be a little bit more sensitive, I think this is a little healing reminder. You know, it's just not everything is about you. Not everything is a criticism. Not everything is, like, a fight. And something someone says isn't always, like, aimed at you or, like, an indirect judgment. And in doing that, you can, like, give yourself so much peace about certain things. Just realize, like, most people are just focused on themselves. So if someone said something and, like, you maybe understood it in a certain way that felt hurtful, question whether or not they, like, actually meant it in that way. And then now moving on to the last section, which I was very happy was included in this definition of mental health, which is social well-being. The first thing for me that has been incredibly important in my mental health journey, and something I learned very, very deeply last year, is that I have to be super mindful of self-isolation, especially when it's accidental self-isolation. And personally, because I'm self-employed and I work from home and Pedro goes into an office a lot of days of the week. This can kind of happen without me being aware of if I am not proactive about how I spend my time. And what happened was last year, Pedro had started his in-office job, and I was so used to him being around at home because he was a student before and he was working from home before, that when he started to go into office, I spent so much more time alone than I was spending before. And it was also my first year being a full-time content creator, so I was kind of like adjusting to this new way of organizing my life. And I also, you know, was adjusting to not having coworkers. So I started to feel very sad, and I didn't know why I was feeling so sad. And I was like, I was crying so much. I really didn't feel good. And I had a moment with myself where I just realized I was just spending too much time alone and kind of in this like monotonous isolation. And it was a really important realization for me. Like, I just had not realized it. It happened on accident. And so after that realization, I have become way more proactive about scheduling co-working days with my other self-employed friends or other friends who work from home, or also just like taking myself to a coffee shop and being in an environment where there's other people around me, and also going to workout classes. All of these things have helped me a lot. Even if I'm not like directly with a friend, being around other humans for me is very important. And I think even if you're an introvert and someone who like needs your alone time, sometimes too much alone time is not good. And so definitely be mindful of this. And something else too for me is like being proactive with prioritizing date nights and quality time with Pedro, and also social plans with friends. That's really important. So whether that's like a fun dinner at a new restaurant, or going for a walk with a friend, or going to a workout with a friend, going for a run, or walking around the farmer's market, like initiating plans and just like making plans is really important because you have something to look forward to. It adds this sense of like newness to your day-to-day that can be really important. And something I also like had to just kind of like move on from is not minding being the initiator when it comes to plans. I feel like for so long, I would always like wait and wait for like everyone else to invite me to things. And instead, I just kind of started to like take ownership of, it's actually kind of fun to make plans and to like reach out to a friend and say like, hey, this new bakery open, like, do you want to check it out with me? Or I miss you. Do you want to catch up and go for a walk at Matcha? Just kind of like making plans like that, it can be really important. And I think having a social schedule, or at least like one fun social plan per week, can be really healing. And if you're someone who has a lot of long distance friendships, which I actually do, I think prioritizing keeping in touch with your long distance friends can be very important. And you can do this in many ways. Some people don't really love texting, but I personally enjoy texting my friends, but also voice memos. Voice memos are so great because you get to like hear the other person's voice, and there's something really comforting about that. And you can kind of like elaborate on things and feel more heard and understood. And then also asking your friends to send photos, be like, oh my God, like, how was your weekend? Send me pics. Like, what did you do? And doing the same yourself, as well as just FaceTiming. All of these are ways that you can keep in touch with your friends, as well as like making plans to see each other. This is obviously not something you can do all the time, but one of my best friends of life and I actually have done something really cute throughout our entire long distance friendship. I met her when I lived in Chicago right after I moved to the US, and I lived there for 2 years and we became like really, really good friends. And then I moved to Florida, and after I moved, we just kind of made a pact that we would see each other every single year, no matter what, once a year. And we would just like alternate, 1 year I would go see her, 1 year she would go see me. And we have kept that up for how many years now? 10 years. And it's honestly such a special tradition. So if you have a long distance friend, I think starting a little tradition like this can be really cool. Obviously, like, life can get busy and everything, but like 1 weekend a year, you can make that work with a long distance bestie, and it becomes really special and a way to make memories together even when you don't live in the same city. Also, something else is like calling your family. Like, for me, calling my parents who live in Florida and my brother who doesn't live in New York yet, just like keeping in touch with them. I usually try to do like at least a FaceTime over the weekend, but I think just like a quick call can go such a long way too. Even if it's like 5 minutes, It can be really nice to do that if you have a close relationship with your family, or if you're trying to become closer to your family. This can be really great, and obviously can apply to like cousins, aunts, grandparents, other areas of your family. And the last thing that I wrote down was having open and vulnerable conversations when necessary. I think when we hold things in for too long and we're not open with the people in our lives, whether it's a friend, a partner, or someone else, we hold things in and it kind of like bubbles up and festers inside of us in a not very great way. So I think it's important to have these conversations and to navigate the uncomfortableness of it too, you know, and try to find a way to be like a proactive communicator and to stay true to yourself, but also like find a way to communicate what you need and ask for what you are not getting. And also just like telling someone if you're upset with them and just like being open. I think this is like the hardest one from this list, but it's something I try to work on as much as I can. And this was actually not the very last one. The last point that I added was to surround yourself with the right people, to be like really selective with your circle and really be mindful of surrounding yourself with people who fill up your cup and who love you for you and when you're showing up as your authentic self. And realize that like the more you are you and your authentic self, the more that the right people can find you. And also like sometimes when you grow and evolve and enter new stages of your life, like your friendships might change. And that can be really hard to navigate. It's something I have had to navigate a lot this year, you know, is like navigating when you outgrow a friendship. It can be really hard when you realize that someone you used to call a close friend isn't showing up for you in the same way. Or maybe, you know, you kind of got this vibe that like they're jealous of you, or that they don't know how to celebrate you and celebrate with you when you're thriving. That like they can only show up for you when you're struggling and when you're going through something hard. It's really, really tough when you realize this about a friend and you realize, wow, like I love this person and I have a lot of care for them, but this person doesn't like it when I'm doing better than them or happier than them or when I'm experiencing a win. Like it's heartbreaking, truly. And I've had to navigate this a lot this year. And it's been hard, but I've learned a lot from this. And it's just made me kind of like rethink friendships and reorient my energy when it comes to my friends and really focus on the friends that are there by my side, like in my great moments, in my moments of like celebration and thriving and wins. It's so important to really hold space for those friends. Even if it's like one friend, like that's enough. But if someone in your life is bringing you down, giving you weird vibes, if you leave hanging out with them and you just feel off or you feel upset or you feel kind of like weird, take note of that and honor it. Because again, your social well-being is a big part of your mental health. And if stuff is not operating the way it should in your social life, like your mental health is also not necessarily going to be thriving. So really understand that there's this connection there and be proactive about selecting the right people that you pour into. So that is everything that I had written down for my list of ways that I support my mental health. I actually really liked this way of like breaking it up into psychological, emotional, and social. So hopefully this like slightly comprehensive list of ways was helpful to you. And also, I would encourage you to maybe jot some notes down on your phone or on a notebook or journal and write out your own list of ways that you can support your mental health when it comes to those three buckets. It can be really good to have this like awareness of yourself. And just remember that mental health is a really important part of your health. It's legit and it matters and you matter and you are loved. And that is one of the truest things in this world. You are loved and I love you. And I'm so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, send it to a friend or let me know what you thought. And I will see you guys next week with another episode. And until then, remember to shower yourself with a little extra love. And I'll see you so soon. Bye.